From Capital Public Radio, it's The View from Here. This is Class Dismissed. A nursery. It might seem like a strange place to begin a story on high school dropouts, but the babies you're hearing are the children of high school students who might have dropped out, if not for a special program designed to keep teen moms and dads in school and on track towards graduation.
Well, you can come during the passing periods and during the breaks, and you can ask your teacher to be excused to come in here and check on the baby if you want to.
Many of the students enrolled in programs like these will be the first in their families to graduate from high school. Students get paid to learn a construction trade while they earn a diploma if they qualify for this charter school. It offers a combination of classroom learning and on-the-job training.
No, I'm not just going to pull the trigger and go full throttle.
From being at the school site, I pretty much know all the tools in here. My dad's always tried to get me to use a saw, and now I can just pick one up and just make the cut. And if my dad was here now, I just know that he'd be really proud of me.
Despite alternatives to traditional high school and adult school, students still drop out for many reasons. Pregnancy, illness in the family, poverty, drugs, and gangs.
To me, school was just a waste of my time. One, I could do more in the streets, make my money. And I'm pretty sure you need your education now. Your high school diploma, jobs that you go for, they ask for it. And if you don't have it, you got nothing. And that's what I got. I got nothing.
This time on The View from Here, we take a look at the dropout crisis in California's Central Valley through the lives of a young gangster who dropped out of school, a returning student trying to earn his diploma, and a teen mom.
I'm Julia Mitrich with the story of Unique. That's with a Y. A young woman who'd gone to 10 different schools by the time she was 17. She became pregnant. Her baby, Harmony, was born in the fall of her senior year. To be in school every day, she needed childcare. So she landed at the Horizons program at Plaza Robles High School in Lodi Unified School District, where Mrs. Becky Beeman is the director.
I think you're finished, huh? Okay, I hear that. Okay, well, let's go get a washcloth. Yeah, okay. A lot of the girls are coming in with broken foundations, meaning that the people that were supposed to be there in their lives to support them and give them love and attention were either missing or were dysfunctional and not able to provide the love that they should have had. One of our girls, Unique Jackson, she's very bubbly. Somehow she hasn't gotten beaten down along the way. She seems to have an inner wisdom about parenting.
This is where our diaper bags go. These are the rocking chairs, but I normally sit in the blue chair with Harmony. And this is the play area. They have swings for the baby. And then you also have the cribs. Harmony crib is in this room. That's where she sleeps at.
How does she sleep here at the Rising Nursery?
She sleeps a lot.
Unique's only 18, but she radiates confidence as a new mom. She has a great laugh, she loves music, and she says Harmony was born from a boombox. Unique came to Horizons way behind in her credits, and she was worried. She checked in constantly with a school counselor to make sure her credits were adding up. I went with her one day.
I meet with Miss Wilma Dammer a lot. Sometimes I think I get on her nerves, but I know I don't. But I meet with her a lot because I really want to graduate. And at the same time, Miss Wilma Dammer is honest. You know, the counselors and the staff here, they're very blunt and they will tell you the truth no matter what.
And she would even come in and ask the simple question, am I okay? Am I going to graduate? Well, how wonderful. You know, a lot of times kids sit back and they don't pursue speaking up for themselves. But Unique did.
Well, a lot of people say that you get a lot of credits here quick. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be hard because it's always the opposite of what the teenagers are saying is what's going to happen. But once I actually started doing work in the classes and I started to see that the work wasn't difficult, but at the same time, it really wasn't easy. Like I had to learn and actually do work. You don't just fly by at Plaza Robles.
Great. Thank you, Unique.
Thank you so much.
Go have some lunch over there.
Yeah.
Just for a minute. I guess one thing I'm concerned about in doing this story, and I'm just kind of spilling my guts here a little bit, is Unique is unique.
She is.
And in that sense, it's hard because she's an exception. The first thing you told me about her is she's got inner wisdom. She's got strength, regardless of whatever's going on at home.
Focus.
Whereas a lot of the women that we talked about, they're coming from abuse, poverty, you know, relocation, emotional problems.
And then you compound that with the fact that they're going to have a child to support. And it is a very difficult thing. So, yes, Unique and the students that get here have a huge leg up when it comes to being successful because they've gotten here. We try to do as much going out to them, but we also need somebody to kind of follow up and then, you know, get the student to school.
Sometimes it's a grandparent. Maybe the parent was having such problems. Maybe they were into drugs or a lifestyle, but the grandparent took over, and the grandparent was the one who felt that education was important.
So what I hear each of you saying is if you can get these at-risk young women who might potentially drop out, if you can just get them enrolled in this program, they'll probably be okay.
Absolutely. And for quite a few of our students, they're the very first person in their family to ever have received a diploma. So, you know, it seems so easy for college graduates to say, well, what's so hard about getting a high school diploma? But for these kids, they have never seen that in their family. And so it's a huge celebration and a moral victory.
All right, everyone, sure to get into the front and then the tallest to the back.
We're getting ready to graduate, walk the stage right now. I'm about to finally start a new life. I'm done with high school. From here on out, it's a job and college. It feels exciting. My heart's beating fast. It's a lot. It's really a lot. I almost cried this morning, but I stopped myself because I'm very strong, so it's all all right.
Everybody's very excited about accomplishing what they'd set out to do. We got 64 graduates this year, and in addition to that 64, we sent 20 back to the high school to graduate with their high school this year. So, very special day. Always remember, you are going to fall down. But the world does not care how many times you fall down as long as it is one fewer than the times that you get yourself back up. Graduating class of 2013, it has been my sincere honor to be your principal. I know I speak for the entire staff in wishing you well. Have a prosperous and fulfilling life. God bless you.
My name is Denise Pollard. I'm Harmony's grandmother. I'm her daughter's grandmother. I'm her baby daddy mother. So that's who I am. I'm grandma. I've been pushing her since we first found out she was pregnant. And I'm like, you can do this. Because I have an older daughter that went through something like this. She graduated. I'm very proud of her. You can do anything you set your mind to do. No matter what kind of anything that goes wrong, just pick yourself up and keep it moving. That's my attitude.
So, just to recap, Denise Pollard's son, Will, is the father of Unique's baby. Will dropped out of high school at 15 when he got into stealing cars. He's tried to go back twice, but at 20, he still doesn't have a diploma. Seeing Unique cross the stage, Will says it made him very proud.
I'm going to be straight truthful. I was surprised because I thought she would be overwhelmed and want to quit. So I just kept pushing her, like, just stay in school. Anything you need, I'll buy. So I started to, like, buy everything that she need when I started working and she was in school. And it made me proud. It made me feel like she was exploring and started a new journey to something else, something new. Now it's the next step. That's how I felt about her graduating, you know? Because I didn't even finish school, so I know not going to school was really a bad impact on my life. It really, really messed things up.
Him saying that I was pregnant and was able to graduate and make him think, oh, well, I can do it too. She could do it. I think you should go back to school now. Education is highly valued in my family. It's a must. They beat on you about it. Well, they don't, like, literally beat on you, but they pressure you. They push you. Sometimes they don't have the material to give you to go forward, but they don't stop expressing how important it is to go to school. Even after you graduate high school, they still in your head, go, move. What you stopping for? Keep going.
And ever since Unique moved in with the Pollard family, that's all she's been hearing. Denise talks about Unique as if she were one of her own daughters.
I said, you got from 18 to 25 to go to college and get your degrees. I said, and then once you kind of get in there a year or two, LVN, I said, you got time to decide if you're going to be something else that you want to retire at. I'll be 50 years old. I'm just not living my dream. I bust my ass all them years. Didn't even try to get an education. I'm finally doing it, but guess what? I'm still not the LVN I want to be or the RN. Look at this big circle I had to go around because I'm older. And I told her, you got 5 or 6 years, you can do all of this and be done. I'm going to tell you something you didn't know. I was also a high school dropout. Now that I look back on it, and me and my mother had a lot of conflict. And I just felt like, you know, forget it. You're never on my side, blah, blah, blah. But the good thing was I went back and I got a GED and I began to have children. And education has been very, very important to me because I didn't get some of the jobs I wanted because I was not educated. And I cannot express how important education is because it opens up so many doors.
Doors that were closed to Denise until her 40s. She'd overcome decades of neglect and abuse, growing up in a family where no one talked about her education. So when Denise walked across the stage at college graduation,
I was in the spirit of gratefulness. I felt bad because I knew my mother wouldn't see it, you know, but just gratefulness. I'm sorry. I was just grateful because being told that you're not going to be nothing. Always being told that you're not going to be nothing. Always being told that you're not good enough. Always being told that you're not smart enough. And I really hated that the people who said all those things to me, that God didn't let them live. If God would have just let them live to that moment when they called my name and I walked across that stage, man, it was like wings were sprouting out of my back because all my life, I was always told I wasn't good enough. I'm too dark. Your nose too big. You really look like a nigger. You know, going from being a statistic to being successful. I haven't completely gotten all the material things for being successful yet, but I'm living in a beautiful house in a beautiful state. You know, and I have a peace of mind, and there's nothing negative about that. We just got to pray for Unique because I'm really going to stay on her head. And to be honest, education is her only way out. That's her only way out. I believe that Harmony was the blessing to push her, to motivate her. You know, and I frustrate her. I do. I push her sometimes. She'd be crying. I say, I don't care about you crying. It's reality. You responsible for her. You, not him, not me, but you. That's reality.
Teen parenthood is a major reason why students drop out of high school. But thanks in part to a special program for pregnant teens, Unique Jackson graduated, got a summer job, and plans to start a nursing program in January. You can read the full-length version of Unique's story and see photos of Unique and baby Harmony online. And our community blog has many more stories from teens talking about why teen pregnancy can lead to dropping out of high school. You can find it all at our website, theviewfromhere.org. This is Class Dismissed on Capital Public Radio's multimedia documentary series, The View From Here. I'm Julia Mitrich.
I'm Rebecca Plevin. I spent some time getting to know a young man. His name is Geronimo Garcia. He lives near Visalia in Tulare County. He was 17 when I met him. He'll be turning 18 this fall. He's one of 14 brothers and sisters. He's somewhere in the middle. He was born into gang life. His older brothers were in the gang, and he likes to say that when he was little, his brothers dressed him like a little gangster. And I said, well, what does that look like? And he said, you know, white t-shirt, shorts, high socks. He said, it sort of is what I'm wearing now, except without the high socks. When he talks about school, you can tell that school was never a priority. I think Geronimo was dropping out of school before he ever really started it.
I started ditching kindergarten and things like that. I always went to my friend's house. And come on, kindergarten? I don't think anybody would ever ditch kindergarten, but I actually did. When I was in fourth grade, like, I started a lot of bad things. My brothers showed me a lot. I was fighting when I was in fourth grade and fifth grade. I didn't really did much sixth grade because I never did my work at all. They would just, you know, pass me on to the other grade. And then seventh grade, when I was in school, I stabbed somebody, went to boot camp for a year. And that's when I noticed that school ain't really important to me because I knew that I would be into fights, selling drugs, being into more of the gang, because I knew what my brothers did, and they're like, all right, we've seen you do this, now you're going to join us because you did that.
Did your parents ever try to get you to go back to school, or did they talk to you at home about the importance of staying in school or getting an education?
They would tell me, but I would never pay attention to them. I'll just do my own thing. But now that I'm older, like, I regret for not listening. Like, I wish I would have listened and done what they were saying and be the kid that they wanted, but that never did happen. To me, school was just a waste of my time. When I could do more in the streets, make my money. I'm pretty sure you need your education now, your high school diploma, because all the jobs that you go for, they ask for it. And if you don't have it, you're out of luck. You got nothing. And that's what I got. I got nothing. You know, I got to change my life. I got to do something about it, because if I keep following it, I'm going to end up dead or in prison. And look where it took my brother's steps at. He ended up dead. And I don't want to go there.
What do you remember most about your brother?
My brother always liked to smoke marijuana every day. That's his favorite thing to do, is smoke marijuana. And he loved this kid a lot.
So the other person in the room with us is Manny Castro, and we were talking about Geronimo's brother, Jose, who was killed, likely due to gang violence this summer. When I asked Geronimo, how did your brother die, he just said really flatly, my brother was shot at the corner of Conyers and Vine Street. And so Manny was encouraging Geronimo to just talk about it and heal a little bit. And Manny has known Geronimo for several years, and I think he is a mentor to Geronimo, and I think Geronimo sees him as a father figure. When I met Manny, he was a gang intervention specialist for Youth for Christ in Tulare County, and he recently took a similar job with the Visalia Unified School District.
I just call myself a youth interventionist or a kids specialist. You know, Geronimo comes off kind of shy, but once you get to know him and you build a relationship with him like I have, you see the fact that he knows he wants something better for himself. And we talk about that.
Manny uses his own story to connect with young gangsters.
Grew up in the projects, grew up on welfare and food stamps. So I didn't make it out of junior high school. From junior high school, I went to continuation school. And that's pretty much where I started getting in trouble. Assaulting a police officer, assaulting a teacher. Around 1981 is when I committed a pretty big crime. And about three or four of us went out and robbed a few houses and shot a few people and did a few things. And I ended up doing 7 years in CYA.
When Manny got out of CYA, he never went back to prison, but he did get pretty hard into drugs. He was addicted to meth for about 15 years. And when he decided that he was ready to change his life, he went to church and he went back to school and he started working with at-risk youth like Geronimo. As part of his job, Manny goes to schools and talks to students and motivates them and shares his own story. And he's done that at schools like Charter Alternatives Academy. It's an expulsion school. It's also the last school that Geronimo attended. And Scott Braden is the principal there.
It is gangs that's big in the Central Valley. And it is drugs, dysfunctional families, poverty. When you have those type of things, that's a recipe for disaster. And Geronimo, I saw in 3 years period of time, always on the sideline of gang activity, but I saw in that 3 year period just the incredible drug use, and he became severely depressed. You just saw the life being sucked out of him. And anytime you track a kid for 3 years and they're doing drugs every single day, you see that. It's just a slow death.
Most kids go to Charter Alternatives for one semester and then they transfer to a comprehensive school. But Geronimo was there off and on for 3 years. So this summer, Manny, Geronimo, and I went to Charter, and it's on a country road and there are orchards across the street. And because it was summer, there was nobody else there. It was quiet. It was peaceful. But last spring, something happened there.
Geronimo's just by nature, he's really quiet, really to himself. And that's why it was unusual for me to hear that he had got into the altercation with the police officer. I kind of scratched my head when I heard that happen.
I was walking down this way towards the office, and he was rushing me from behind me, so I turned around, and I accidentally elbowed him in the face, and he hit the pole, and then we started wrestling from here towards the cafeteria. And we ended up over here on this side next to the tree, and that's when he called some other guy, and they got me on the ground pretty good. Picked me up a couple times, tried to slam me on the ground. I picked him up too, like a couple times. I never thought I would get into a fight with the sheriff or a cop or anything like that. I didn't think that was gonna happen ever in my life. Got suspended for 5 days and didn't return back to school. That's it, because I didn't want to see the officer again. If I seen him, I probably wouldn't gotten mad, probably would have done something different. You know, things that I didn't want to do. Old memories I used to have around here. Just hanging around my friends, all the old friends I used to see every day. Two of them are in prison for shooting the mall. And others are either dead or still in jail. Some of them are out there playing around, but I haven't heard of them or talked to them in years.
So you would go out, why would you come back all those times?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's what I wanted to know, too. I really don't know why. Why would I come back after being gone for so long and come back after a month? I really don't know.
Was it to see your friends? Was it to get back in school? Like, what do you
think
it was?
I think it was because to get back in school so I could be enrolled in something at least.
Do you think it's because you know what you need to do?
I think probably.
It's just, you know what you need to do. You know how to get there. And that's kind of what keeps you going back. I think there's times when we can motivate you a little bit. And then you come and then you kind of fade out a little bit and we motivate you again. And then, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
With Geronimo, you would say things and it was one ear out the other. His purpose was to exist. There's so much hurt and pain that to see a life beyond what they're feeling and thinking now is non-existent. It's not even a possibility. They're survivors. And when they've had that much rejection, abandonment, they're just happy to be alive.
We're not looking at a guy who just made one mistake. We're looking at a kid who's making mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. Those are our kids. And those are the kids we don't give up on. And because they need a place to fall. They need a place to lay their head. Coming from an environment where nobody really seems to care about you, and you're kind of thrown into where we all want to help you, we want to do this for you, we want to do that for you, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to kids who have never had anything to think that a teacher wants to help me. Why? There must be something up with this. And I think the biggest challenge for them is believing it.
Originally, I wanted to interview Geronimo at his house, but Manny told me that just was not a possibility, that it wouldn't be safe for me to go inside the house, and they probably wouldn't want me there. And so then I thought, well, maybe we can go do the interview outside of the house, and that really wasn't an option either. Geronimo wasn't comfortable doing the interview outside of the house. And in fact, when we first went to the house, I had assumed that I would take one car, Manny would take another, and he said, look, it's not safe to leave one car in front of the house in that neighborhood even for just a couple minutes. So we ended up riding in the car all together, and we ended up doing the interview about his neighborhood from the safety of a car.
I come down this way a lot, and I'll often see Geronimo riding his bike. He smiles really big and waves really big, you know. That's the personality that I know. That's the Geronimo that I know. But then also there's times when I've seen him, what they call mean mugging, or looking at somebody, you know, like, what's up, fool? In the gang culture, if you look an enemy in the eye, it's a sign of disrespect. And, you know, your chest comes out a little bit, and you got a little scowl, because that's what you do. You're taught one thing coming up in the gang culture, but then when you get to be an adult and we're trying to teach you, you know, look somebody in the eye, it's contradicting. You're contradicting yourself. And it's confusing. So we're in Patterson Tracks now. Can you tell us where we're going, Geronimo?
We're going down Granby Street, like a little ghetto place here. Up here on the left, we got my house. It's a pretty big yard. You can see it goes in. Got a lot of dirt everywhere. We have a little broken windows that we get drive-by shootings and whatever. We got houses with some junk everywhere in the front too. Some houses be nice, like this one. Some will be dirty, leave things everywhere. Some houses be having gardens up in the front, really nice, or they'll just have it messy. There be cars up in the front, tore up, not even used. They just leave them there, don't care about them. Yeah, we got a little farm right here with goats and a couple dogs. They should be out. And again, my house. Got some broken windows from drive-bys and stuff like that. Dirt everywhere. Not really much grass. Got like four or five big trees up in the front.
Might want to wave to your people because they're coming out.
Mike.
Is that your uncle?
No, that's my brother.
It's okay. Oh, it's your brother.
Yeah.
Where's Carlos and
Carlos, they're probably inside the house playing.
So
how long have the windows been broken like that?
I don't know, for like a long time, so maybe a year or two.
You know, just a side note. When, you know, your brother's seen us drive by twice.
Yeah.
You know, we stopped. This time when we stopped, he kind of came to see what was going on. That's just what you do. You know.
Yeah.
Who's this is the second time I've seen this car drive by. I got to see who it is, because it's a defense mechanism. It's, hey, who's by my house? Who's doing what? Who's looking at me? Who's behind me? You know, who's around me? Because it's rough. You never know who's looking for you. You never know who's out to get you.
To learn more about intervention efforts that help youth get off the street and back into school, go to our website. You can also watch a video featuring the story of a former dropout who served time and now has a diploma and a job. Find it all, along with photo slideshows and full-length stories, at theviewfromhere.org. This is Class Dismissed on The View From Here from Capital Public Radio. I'm Rebecca Plevin.
You're listening to The View From Here from Capital Public Radio. I'm Steve Milne. This is Class Dismissed.
All right, let's squat up, get this morning stretch. Roosevelt, go ahead.
All right. 10, use Bill jumping jacks on a three count. Ready, begin. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 0, 1, 2, 3, U, 1, 2, 3, T.
It's 7:30 in the morning at the Building Futures Academy Charter School in Stockton. 22-year-old Roosevelt Webb is leading fellow students through a morning drill.
1, 2, 3, 0, 1, 2, 3, 3. All right. Roosevelt, Arturo, and Pedro, you guys head out with Darren.
Today, the crew is heading away from school and out to a construction site as part of a national program called Youth Build. Students learn trade skills like how to hang drywall one week, and on the alternate weeks, they study English, math, and other subjects. The one prerequisite for this program? None of the students completed traditional high school.
My name's Darren Brandt, and I'm one of the construction instructors for Youth Build San Joaquin in Stockton. We're at a little cafe in downtown Stockton that we're building some office spaces inside an existing building. And when you're mixing mud, you never want to dump in too much water because it's just like mortar mix for brick. What happens when you get the mud too wet? We're out doing real-world experience. Everything these students are learning out here is how it's done on the job site. And I think it's just awesome. Because some of these kids, when they come to us, they're feeling pretty hopeless about life in general. We've had students that come in with bad attitudes, no teamwork, got kicked out, came back the following year or 6 months later. Same thing. The light still hadn't went on yet. Got kicked out again the third time they come back, and they are a whole different person. You know, and it's incredible to witness that kind of transformation in a person.
Okay, now don't be afraid of it. Pull that trigger now. There you go. Pull it.
From being at the school site, I pretty much know all the tools in here. It's kind of crazy. I never thought I'd be using a sawzall. And this guy right here can cut through steel, believe it or not. My dad's always tried to get me to use a saw, a skill saw, and I never want to use it. And now I can just pick one up and just make the cut. Yeah, it feels pretty good to be able to do that, too.
What do you think your dad would do if he could see you now?
I don't know. I know he'll be really proud of me.
Roosevelt is doing well at Youth Build. He's completing the graduation requirements, but more than that, he finally feels connected to his education. He says it's because the teachers and staff have time to connect one-on-one with him.
You guys see the question on the board. So if you ask yourself the question, what is the biggest problem in Stockton? What I want you to do is I want you to just bullet out five different ideas or five different things. If you can only think of one, that's fine.
My name is Lucas Homdis. I'm a teacher at Building Futures Academy in Stockton, California. The majority of what Youth Build is attempting to do is get students ready for work, get students ready for life after school. So many of our students don't have the social skills it's going to take to be able to roll right out of school and get into a job, go to college, do some kind of vocational ed. Some of the stories that these guys have, it's incredible that they ever finish it all. They have these tragic things happen in their families. They have these crazy backgrounds. They fall behind early, you know, from fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade. I kind of feel like they're just overwhelmed. Whatever school they came from, the teachers didn't help them. The teachers didn't see them, really.
Hamda says for most of his students, BFA is their last chance. Many were expelled from previous schools for criminal and gang activities. But Roosevelt is different.
It's a little bit strange, actually, when you first meet him, when you're going around and you meet all of our other students at the beginning of the school year, and here's this kid, and he looks you right in your eye and shakes your hand, and, you know,
if he just strikes you as a good guy, you kind of think, oh man, what's this guy's angle? And then you hear his story, and then you have a better understanding on why he's here.
Roosevelt lives with his mom and nieces and nephews. They rent a house in South Stockton, and one of the family's favorite activities is playing video games. On the day I stopped by, Roosevelt, his brother, and the whole family were gathered around a large screen TV in the living room. They were playing a video game called Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
So there's like Super Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Bowser. And you always get together and just have fun, fight, basically.
That's foolish. Did you see that?
Pretty much every video game tells a story. And if you're a type of person that can create a video game and this and that, you can create a story. Like, if I were to design a game, it would be a game that was basically good versus evil. Stopping the bad guys and, you know, saving the world. I mean, everybody wants to be a hero, but not everyone has the courage to do it.
Well, we grew up playing video games together from a long time ago. That's kind of like what we do to have our fun together, you know. That's kind of how we communicate without saying nothing, you know, like, oh, want to play the game? Yep.
He hit my aura. He didn't even hit me.
My name is Waddell Webb. I'm Roosevelt Webb's brother. Me seeing what he's doing, it makes me very proud of him. I know he's a smart man, you know, smart person, period. So I know it shouldn't be too hard for him to do. If he can fix a computer, a little schooling ain't too hard.
Roosevelt's dream is to be a video game designer. For that, he needs to start with a high school diploma. He was pretty much on track for success in elementary and middle school, but that changed when he got to Edison High. I asked him why.
Well, when I first started going to Edison, I was thinking like, oh man, you know, this is my time, you know, to shine and to be able to just do me, you know. But it's a big eye-opener, you know, because it's just so many kids there that it's hard to, you know, get recognized or get noticed, or your talents are unseen, basically. Being at a school that big, it makes it very, very hard for anyone. Very hard. Most of my grades there, way far below basic. It was mostly D's and F's. Except in my math class. I was there for the whole 4 years, from 9 to 12.
And then when did you drop out?
The end of my senior year. Yeah, that was kind of like when my dad got sick. For as long as I know my father, he was always a diabetic. He had a heart condition, congestive heart failure. And when he got sick, I just basically just, it was like, not my world had changed, but it just felt like it had changed. And so I felt like it was kind of like my responsibility to help take care of him. And that's how I ended up out of it. Well, not only that, but that's kind of how I ended up out of Edison. School is always going to be there, so I felt like that spending time with my dad was more important than spending time in school. My mom, they both wanted me to stay in school, but that's not where my heart was.
I didn't like him because I thought that he could graduate and really become somebody else. He's smart. All the people like him. My name is Bobby Jean Webb, and I'm from Mississippi, but I live in Stockton. I'm Roosevelt Webb, junior mother. I'm very proud of him for going to school. If his daddy be here today, he would be very proud of him.
After my dad passed away, I was just pretty much just really angry, like, at the world. And I really didn't have time to spend with anybody, just to myself most of the time. And then my friend, that's when he was just like, oh, you should get in the youth build. I ended up going there, and it's been a big life-changing experience. I would be the first in this family to get a high school diploma, from my dad to my mom to my brother to my sister to me.
Got me to thinking about it like, man, we do need somebody in the family that actually can say they graduated, you know, got a diploma. So it's like, man, you need education. That's the one thing I tell anybody. Even given my experience, I even tell myself that, man, like, you need education. because then that would have made it easier for me and my family, because I would have a job and I would be able to provide a little more than what I am now. So it's kind of hard, but, you know, you find ways to make it. I'm just glad my brother is doing what he set his mind and heart to doing.
Oh, they're going to mean a whole lot, because he going to be the first one. Very first one. Yeah, I want to see my son up there with his diploma in the hand and stuff. Yeah, that made me real, real happy. Real happy. Yeah, I just hope I'll be here to see it.
All summer, Roosevelt Webb worked at a job he got through Building Futures Academy, but he and his family still managed to play a lot of video games. Roosevelt's mom was in good health, and Roosevelt continued to help her pay the rent, run errands, and keep house. August 13th was a bright sunny day in Stockton, and Roosevelt walked back through those school doors, along with the other hopeful former dropouts, into his senior year of high school.
All right, good morning, folks. Good morning. Glad to see you guys. Welcome to your first day at Building Futures Academy. We have all of our staff who's kind of coming in, and right now we're just going to kind of introduce ourselves.
So my name is Sheila, and I started the Youth Build program here in Stockton. It's been 8 years now. We have some wonderful things planned for all of you this year. So what it takes is for you to be here every day. Take advantage of all of the opportunities. We're here. We're meeting you halfway. We're expecting you to do your part. Anybody that's a returning student, if you work at Habitat for Humanity houses, would you please stand up? Three families are moving into the Habitat for Humanity houses that you built. So that's the kind of work that we do here. We give back to the community, and we make Stockton a better place to be. So please take advantage of everything you have.
What I'm most excited about this coming year are the new people I get to meet, and then on top of that, the old people I get to graduate with. The only thing that could possibly happen right now is something were to happen to my mom. That's about it. But right now, she's in pretty good health, so a year from now, I'm like, hey, look, I got that diploma. It's right here. I'm in college. Everyone has their own struggles and stuff. They go through their own problems and stuff, but just stick to it. Find some type of goal. Find somebody there that's supportive of you, and let that be what makes you to get your high school diploma.
After Unique Jackson graduated, she got a job with the city of Stockton. Back at Horizons, Unique's teacher, Mrs. Becky Beeman, says Unique's confidence will serve her well as she sets out to make a life for herself and her baby daughter.
Yesterday, the girls wrote thank you notes to the different teachers that they've had, and I got a couple myself, and one of them says, Mrs. Beeman, thank you for all the support you've given me in this program. You were the main one saying, I can do this, and those words got me to where I am today. And I think really that's what all the girls need, is just somebody who can believe in them, that says, yeah, this is difficult. Now that you're a teen mom, you have a challenge, but you can keep going. You know, you might have to go slower now. Maybe can't take as many classes at school, or you have to work maybe a few less hours. They know that they can keep going, and they should keep going. They can be successful. Everybody needs somebody like that in their life, whether it's a parent, whether it's a teacher, a counselor. They need that support and that encouragement for them to keep going.
I told her, I don't mean to be overbearing. I love you, and I love my granddaughter, and I can be. But you at a stage in your life right now, everything that you do is going to show in your future.
I'm going into the summer with a, basically with a new spirit. I'm older, I have a baby, and I'm no longer in high school. You know, the world doesn't look at me as a kid anymore, so I have to go into the summer with a mindset of a adult, I guess.
As for the future, Unique and Denise are both focused on harmony and what she'll need to succeed.
I'm going to be on her head. If I'm living, I'm going to be on her head. Go to school, go to school. You got to make it fun for them when they're little and then as they progress. But, yeah, I'm going to be the grandmother from hell probably, you know. I don't want to go over grandma's. But that's our future. That's my future. That's my blood. That's my granddaughter.
Geronimo Garcia hasn't returned to school, but he does have a job at the Whitman Center. It's a community center in Visalia, and it's a safe place for the neighborhood kids. When you walk in, you see a sign that says no offensive language, no gang violence, no gang colors. Geronimo showed me around the rest of the place.
This is the gym right here we're standing at. We had a couple offices in there, the resource room where the computer's at.
When you're working here, what are you doing?
I basically clean the Women's Center, mopping, sweeping, or whatever, spraying the walls down, make some bikes. The bike shop's in the back. Yeah, right here was a bike shop. I think it's a police department or something. They'll find bikes in the street, so they'll take them from kids from doing bad things. I don't know, something. And we'll get this big donation to us. We'll get good bikes, some crappy bikes, or whatever. And I'll try to turn them into a really nice bike or something.
Geronimo is our master bike repairman here. So, you know, he comes in here and he can just tear something apart and build it real fast. And he's great with his hands.
That's Josh Huerta. He runs the bike repair shop.
This bike, it's a pretty good frame. Me, it all depends on the frames. This is like a mongoose frame right here. What I'll do is just find a chain for it. I'll just try to find like a really good rim and put it together. Do whatever I can to make the bike look good.
He's part of our Gangsta Jobs program. If they're deep into gangs, then we have a gang awareness curriculum that we sit with them and we go through a six-week course. Ways how to conduct yourself, you know, about respect and responsibility. There's other former gang members telling their stories, and just basically we try to let them see a reflection of themselves through us, that they can do it also. You know, if we can do it, they could do it.
Just listening to Josh, you know, there's a process to it. There's a process to his story. There's a process to my story, you know, coming out of YA and getting on drugs. And now I'm employed with the school district. I mean, how amazing is that? That's a process. And that's what we're looking for in these young men, is a process. Not just to say, you know, you're in a gang, you're dropped out of school, your life is going nowhere. We flip that around and say, hey, we know who you are, we know what you're about, we know you're in school, let's work with that. Let's go through the process.
So on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, how strong is your desire to go back to school?
I don't know.
5, 8, 10, and 2? Or
like a 5 in the middle.
So it's workable. You know, that's workable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I go to school, it's like, I don't want to be here. But when I'm at home, it's like, I want to go to school and see what it's like right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of something like that.
So I think that 5 is right on, you know. So, you know, and you got to give a 10 for honesty. One of the biggest issues that we have as counselors and interventionists is getting kids to be honest, to be aware and to be open of the reality of where they're headed. And Geronimo is certainly aware of where he's headed if he doesn't go back to school.
We've had students that come in with a bad attitude, got kicked out, came back the following year. Same thing. The light still hadn't went on yet. Got kicked out again. The third time they come back, and they are a whole different person. And it's incredible to witness that kind of transformation in a person.
I told her, I don't mean to be overbearing. I love you, and I love my granddaughter. But you at a stage in your life right now, everything that you do is going to show in your future.
Always remember, you are going to fall down. But the world does not care how many times you fall down, as long as it is one fewer than the times that you get yourself back up.
You can read full-length stories about Roosevelt, Geronimo, and Unique, see photos, watch videos, and learn much more about the high school dropout crisis at our website, theviewfromhere.org.
The View From Here is a production of Capital Public Radio in Sacramento. Thanks to Unique Jackson, Roosevelt Webb, Geronimo Garcia, and their families, teachers, and mentors for sharing their stories. Executive producer of The View From Here is Joe Barr. Reporters are Steve Milne,
Julia Mitrich,
and Rebecca Plevin of Valley Public Radio, with multimedia producer Andrew Nixon.
Senior editor Alan Ray.
Digital content manager Al Gibbs.
Web designer Veronica Nagy.
Community engagement specialist Jessica Maria Ross.
Interns Caitlin Bain,
Cosmo Garvin,
Emma Bowman,
and David Fuentes.
Music by Anatech, Pottington Bear, Scott Collard, and Broke for Free.
See and hear more youth stories at our community blog. You'll find a link at theviewfromhere.org.
The View From Here is funded in part by the California Endowment,
California Healthcare Foundation,
and Sierra Health Foundation.
Class Dismissed was produced by Catherine Stifter and Paul Conley. Thanks for listening to The View From Here.